Hello and welcome to Plotress.
This is Meg.
This is Lane.
And today we're reviewing The Duchess by Sophie Jordan.
This is the second book in the Scandalous Ladies of London series and was just published in 2024.
And full disclosure, we did receive a complimentary advanced reader copy of this book.
We have read the first one in the series.
We liked it way more than we thought we would.
It was real fun. And this one has a sort of similar arc.
Uh-huh, it does.
So
we will talk about it.
So I think comparison is sort of inevitable.
100%. We have to talk about it. I think we are probably going to have a spoiler section in this one.
Yeah.
Simply because of the way the book... I mean, just because of the way the book is structured, we have to talk about the third act.
Yeah.
So, but as usual, we'll give you an idea of what to expect in the book, if you should pick it up or not, and then we'll move into the spoiler section.
All right. So the book jacket. The thrilling second book in New York Times bestselling author Sophie Jordan's amazing new high concept series, The Scandalous Ladies of London, which chronicles the lives of a group of affluent ladies reigning over glittering Regency-era London, vying for position in the hierarchy of the ton. They are the young wives, widows, and daughters of London's wealthiest families. The drama is big, the money runs deep, and the shade is real. Life is different in the ton.
I liked my husband well enough, but I like him even better dead. It's been a year since her wretched cat of a husband died, and Valencia, the Dowager Duchess of Dedham, is finally her own woman. Flitting from party to party, freedom is sweet and life should be perfect. Until the new duke surfaces. Nothing like the haughty noblemen who populate the ton. Rain, the newly minted Duke of Dedham, is a big, brawny Welshman with an accent that makes Valencia's knees go weak as he boldly moves into her home with his six wild, unwed sisters.
The rude and humorless usurper thinks her vain and spoiled. But with a pittance to her name, Valencia needs his support to remain in London and enjoy all the pleasures her new position as a merry widow has to offer. So a bargain is struck. Valencia will usher his sisters into good society and see them happily betrothed. In return, he'll give her the financial security and independence she craves.
But the more time they spend beneath the same roof, the more she realizes it's not safety she wants, but the dangerously seductive Rain. Valencia has vowed never to risk marriage again. And yet, how can she resist the tempting man when he might be the greatest adventure of her life?
This is a terrible jacket.
Okay, I don't watch The Real Housewives. Is that first paragraph a Real Housewives knockoff?
I don't know. I also have never seen it.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the drama is big, the money runs deep, and the shade is real. That has to be referring to something else, right?
I'm sure. But so first of all, this whole I like my husband well enough, but I like him even better dead. This whole book is about how like unbearably appropriate Valencia is. So the idea that she's walking around saying anything even remotely resembling that is just unbelievable. She's also been in mourning. Mm-hmm. The whole point of the beginning of this book is she hasn't been out flitting around the town. She's been in isolation in her widow's weeds, and she's just about to start to be allowed to party. So she has done none of the making merry that's being implied here. It's not a good jacket.
Well, Lane, do you think we did our own summaries a little better?
No, I mean, I got confused and mine's terrible, but yours is probably good.
Well, as usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50, and then we used that number as a word count to write our own summaries. Okay, I will go ahead and start then. Exactly 1 year ago, Valencia's husband died. She's finally out of mourning and ready to enjoy widowhood. The next day, her husband's heir shows up and kicks her out of her house, so that's a bummer.
Yeah. And that's sort of the tone the book has. If we're being honest.
I mean, I did my best.
All right, mine. While widowdom provides new freedoms for women, they're still at the whim of the men in control of the money. It's really convenient when the new guy is nice, so you get to keep your title.
True. It's very true. Which is trope number one. She's in love with the heir.
Bum, bum, bum.
I feel like we've read a few that like this lately.
We absolutely have. There's also a meet cute where she gets rescued and he's really mean to her.
Uh-huh.
This isn't quite enemies to lovers because they don't know each other long enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the bad first impression to lovers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's terrible. I call it a meet disaster. I'm not the one who came up with that. Someone else came up with it, but it's a meet disaster.
Well, you didn't tell me that. I could have believed you were that clever.
I should have just said that. I call it a meet disaster. She's tutoring his sisters.
She is. So the goal here is not just that she's going to do this. Let me back up. If she took the settlement as written in her husband's will, she'd be forced out of London and would not be getting enough money to survive. So she's agreed to do it, and he, in exchange, has agreed to set her up in London to continue on in the style to which she has become accustomed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there are, like, some, like, micro tropes. Like, there's a sex club and...
Vauxhall!
Yeah, Vauxhall and pleasure cruise on the Thames and it's not a trope, but there are some dual timelines that we will definitely talk about. But oh yeah, he's a big brawny Welshman who doesn't want the title. He was never meant to inherit.
He also is entirely self-made in the Welsh mines and is so reluctant to inherit. He's only even agreed to come to London because his sisters are excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost. Oh, and also talk about big, crazy family. He has 12 sisters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might think six unmarried sisters is weird, but he's actually got 12. Six of them are already married.
Yep.
So
I want to say something off the bat before we dive into the next section of the review.
Okay, say it.
We had an arc.
Yes.
I picked up on a lot more issues with the writing than I usually do. Like word choices being off or like sentences back to back contradicting each other about the backstories. It wasn't anything major.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to harp on it because I recognize it might be fixed in the final version, but it was so much more notable than it usually is that I just like, I don't know if you had the same experience, but I found myself like rereading sentences to make sure I hadn't missed something and then realized that there was just like a typo.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, Speaking of like the six sisters and the who are married and six sisters who are not married, it implies that he's married.
Yeah, that's exactly the one I was thinking of. He says the sisters are saying there's 12 of us, seven wed, including him.
Yep. Yep.
So it reads like he's one of the married ones. And I was like, I am sure that's not what's going on here.
I was like, is he a widower? I was like, what's going to happen here?
So that's the one I had in mind when I was like, it was so noticeable. I feel like I have to mention it, even though hopefully it will be fixed by the final version.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to come out and say it. I thought that this book was going to be super trashy and like lean in on being like messy, trashy drama. And it was not as trashy as I wanted.
On a lot of different levels.
Yes. On many, many levels. I enjoyed the first book a lot. I had way more fun reading it than I expected. And I think that it raised my expectations for the series and for this book in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was more disappointed than I would have been otherwise. Right?
Sure.
So I don't know. The whole conceit for this is that these are women behaving badly, right? And she just never behaved badly enough. I was like,
she wasn't a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple moments where she and her friends speak ill of people or have prejudices, but this didn't quite go far enough in letting her be a fun.
Yes.
Like grandam of society.
Yeah, exactly.
Like exactly. If she's going to be that like outwardly mean to certain women and judgmental, I want it to be in a fun way.
Yeah.
Not in a, we're just not even going to process this way.
Yep. Yep. It was a really fast read. I will say that I wasn't bored at all when I read this book.
Yeah, because it flies.
It flies. I was like, okay, what's happening next? And I will say that I could not predict what happened in this book, which is why we have to have a spoiler tag.
Yeah, it was a choice.
It sure was, because I was like, wait, what? I do want to talk about these dual timelines, because there were flashbacks every two or three chapters to a house party that happened a year ago on the day her husband died. It took place in the first book. So if you read the first book, you have a little bit of an idea of what happened, right? Because her husband died there. Mm-hmm. But of course, we all figured there was a little more to the story.
Right.
And so we get that. But I find dual timelines very difficult to enjoy, because I always find myself wanting to read one more than the other. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do I read a book with dual timelines that I'm like, this is amazing, this is the best book ever. It happens, but not very often. And in this book, same thing happened. I just wanted more of the present day. I really didn't want to relive that house party.
Especially because what they were flashing back to in the dual timelines was explicit depictions of her being sexually harassed and abused by her husband. And you knew already that was her reality. You knew, similar to a lot of what went down in the first book, that she'd been horrifically mistreated by her husband and fending for herself for a very long time. And so it added nothing to exactly. Have it made explicit on the page. So I found myself sort of wanting to skim those sections with my hands over my eyes. Yep. You don't learn anything new in them.
Yep.
They're just gratuitous.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I'm not sure why the choice was made to do them as flashbacks, right? Yep. Especially because the ultimate reveal is not that crazy shocking.
You wouldn't have needed any of the buildup.
No, you wouldn't.
Other than the only thing it really added was a full depiction of both her husband and this other man's villainy.
Yep.
Her husband's already dead when the book starts, and the other guy never gets what's coming to him, even though he remains a sexual harasser.
Yep. I mean, the whole point for that is a spoiler. I'll talk about it later. Sorry.
The whole point for that is a spoiler.
The whole point for that is there is a point, but I can't talk about it. All right. So content warnings. I mean, is there anything you want to talk about before we move on to content warnings? So I do want to get to the spoiler tag.
I think we can keep going.
Okay. So content warnings, we already talked about it, but basically it's this domestic violence and sexual assault that happened primarily in the past.
Right.
And then content warning, like trigger warning, skip forward if you don't want a spoiler. We will be talking about the spoiler tag, kidnapping.
And not spoiler content warning, she's experienced multiple miscarriages and has difficulty with fertility. She's never born a child, and that is wrapped up in discussions of the patriarchy, but also just her wanting to be a mom. She's had two mm-hmm. miscarriages, mm-hmm. and all of that is pretty explicit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sexiness lane.
This was so profoundly disappointing.
I was so upset.
There is a sex club.
Yes.
She starts out the book with the desire to go out for her birthday, her first night on the town since her husband died, and just find somebody to fuck. Mm-hmm. And she meets him that night, and that night gets ruined, but then he walks into her house, and they come up with this agreement. And I was like, I was prepared for a sex book.
And they go to a sex club, and they happen to meet there on the same night.
There's one kiss.
There needed to be more in the sex club. I'm sorry, but this was Chekhov's sex club, and it didn't go off.
Well, and then the sex scene that happens right after that is, I was so mad.
I was so mad. I was so mad. I could not believe that is what she chose to write. I was like, no. This book was short. It could have had like five more sex scenes. Like, at least.
Yeah, but if that was going to be the content of the sex scene, I didn't want more of them.
Well, that's true. I mean, we know it's sexy. Like, the first book was sexy. It could have been sexier, too. I remember saying that it could have been sexier. I know Sophie Jordan can write some hot sex. I know she can.
You would not know it reading this book.
No. No. So, anyway, just FYI, guys. FYI. Yeah.
I think we'll get more explicit about it in the spoiler tag, but there's just... Just know that if you are thinking sex club widow on the town, ready to get it on, your expectations will not be met.
Sex club widow on the town. Okay. Also, okay, if you're ending now, please tell us, am I right? Is this an explicit reference to the Real Housewives of somewhere? Or is it just weird? Okay, spoiler tag?
Spoiler tag.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Now we're going to talk about some spoilers. What do you want to talk about first?
All right, let's talk about how domestic reviews was used as a red herring.
Yes, thank you. That's what it was. I was like, because we were like, what was the point of this guy? And I'm like, he was there as a red herring. He was there to make you think that he was going to kidnap her or blackmail her.
So first of all, you find out about midway through the book that prior to her asshole husband's untimely demise, she'd gone to a, like, medium?
Yes.
Who had warned her about, I guess, staying away from staircases, yeah. And that's where her husband died.
Yeah, that was in the first book.
Yeah. I am providing context.
Yes,
here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then she goes back to this medium because she's, like, got a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Basically, and the medium's like, you're in so much danger, you need to get out of town. And that's sort of the first point at which you realize something might actually be wrong. Like, Sophie Jordan didn't have any way to organically incorporate it into the text.
Well, it's because, like, you're reading it, and I was like, okay, right, she and Rain are gonna, like, get it on. Like, that's what I want. I just, like, guys, just get it on. And then she's like, oh,
she gets this threatening, her response to the threatening note, rather than dealing with it, is to go to the medium. And even though she has no idea what the point of the threatening note could be, whether it's going to be blackmail or what have you, because it doesn't say, she just makes the assumption that they have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
It was so annoying.
It was very annoying. It was really annoying.
Then after they've had their secret goodbye sex, and she goes to leave him for reasons of she's afraid of consequences for the threatening note she got, but what those are remain mysterious. She gets kidnapped.
She gets kidnapped. And we're like, who did it? Who did it? Must be this guy who tried to rape her in the past and was threatening to her at the sex club. Yep. It wasn't.
Nope.
It was... It's the stupidest thing. I know that I have said in other episodes, and I feel this way, that if I can figure out who the person, who the villain is, then, you know, I'm a little disappointed in a mystery. But, like, it can't just be someone who doesn't have any motive.
Right.
Like, it has to make sense.
Well, and the problem is, so he's, the kidnapper is... The cousin that Rain was going to leave as his representative in London when he went back to Wales.
Mm-hmm.
So not like an heir, but somebody who was clearly going to benefit from his power.
Yeah.
And he decides to seduce Valencia's maid just to threaten her. And he reveals that his motive is that she's convincing him to stay in London.
Mm-hmm.
An evil cousin feels like his whole path to victory is getting Rain out of London.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, the cousin's been attempting to show Rain the best of London for weeks and going out with him every night. Like, it just makes no sense.
Nope. It doesn't make any sense. Although I guess maybe if the cousin knew that Rain really liked Valencia, him taking him out would be to separate them. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Before they even met her.
I was being very generous here.
It makes no sense. It makes zero sense.
Okay, what happened in the past? Why did we have to read this whole two timeline, Blaine?
Oh, because he didn't just fall down the stairs. Her husband was trying to beat her with a cane.
Yeah.
And her friends came to defend her and shoved him down the stairs as a byproduct of shoving him away from her.
Yep. It was in self-defense. Like, she can't... Sophie Jordan doesn't let anyone... She doesn't lean in on the meanness.
Yes.
Right? She doesn't let... She like, I would have been fine if Valencia was like, I have had enough, and pushes him down the stairs without him, like, trying to actually beat her, you know?
Right.
Like, if she knew he was going to beat her. Like, she knows that...
Right.
And she's just like, enough, done. I'm finished with this. Men are trash. This guy's out of my life. I would have been like, okay, awesome. No.
It had to be witnessed. So it couldn't just be left unsaid, because it needed to be part of the drama of this book.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, even the relationship with her stepmother, which painted Valencia really negatively, never went far enough for it to get into campy meanness.
Yes, 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 exactly. Exactly.
Okay, can we just talk about why the sex was awful?
Yes, please.
Okay, so after they have this one kiss at the sex club, she, like, freaks out and decides to run away and goes home, but she's staying in the Justice's chambers and he's staying in the Duke's chambers, so they have a joining bedroom.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm gonna go knock on the door, and then it switches to his perspective, and you're like, cool, sex seems in a heart from his perspective. And then the whole chapter is just him going to bed and actually falling asleep. And you flash back to her perspective. And she walks into his room. He's out cold. Strips him naked. Strips herself naked. And just straight up mounts him. She no kissing. Him. No foreplay. No nothing.
I was like, what is going on here? Why is this sexy? This isn't sexy.
It was so weird. They don't speak. And she finishes, he hugs her, and then she leaves.
Yeah.
It was so strange.
It was so weird and just not sexy.
And the only other sex scene is the secret goodbye sex, when she thinks she's under threat and has made the completely rational and not at all bizarre decision to leave.
Yep.
It was just so profoundly weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, am I interested in reading the next book in the series? Yeah, because the first book was like so, it like really did hit the spot.
Yeah.
And this upcoming book seems like it's going to be really fucking weird, Lane.
Tell me more.
Well, you didn't... It's about the stepmother.
Oh, and the people that her husband is trying to force to impregnate her?
Yes. So you know she's going to fall in love with
someone. I was afraid of that.
Oh, I'm like, I'll read it. It's going to be the tipping point for the series.
If that doesn't go, like, fun over the top, nothing will.
Nope. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I think, too. Anyway, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about this book. Do you?
I mean, no, but I in summation, I don't really feel like I can recommend this.
Yeah, same.
It was short, but the fact that it promised to be a sex book and then...
was not.
The only really explicit sex scene, for all you know, she was dry as the Sahara and they never spoke.
Yeah. Yep. So I was very disappointed in this one. I was expecting like way more. I was expecting it to be really fun, trashy, like a romance novel, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't.
No.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and check us out wherever you can find Pilatris.